In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What a remarkable gospel this is today when you really think about it. This is a woman, it said, who was from the region of Canaan. St. Mark's gospel actually says that she was a Syrian Phoenician woman, Syro-Phoenician woman. And that whole area, which is called Canaan today, stretches from about just north of Jerusalem, all the way up through Damascus, and even up further than that. So it's a very large area. Canaan, of course, was the son of Ham from the book of Genesis and the grandchild of Noah, if you will. And so his name, for some reason, and we're not even really sure why, gave this whole population the coloring of Canaan, when in fact it was a rather mixed sort of tribal relationship with the Jews and with the pagans and many other peoples. So we don't know exactly what she was, except from that region. And as such, because if you look back into the Old Testament, the Canaanites were one of the tribes that Israel was told by God to destroy, you can see that even to that point, there's a bit of animosity between the people of Canaan and the Jews. Well, this woman comes out, and she's obviously very distressed. She must have heard something about who Jesus was, because otherwise she would not have approached him like this. And Jesus, yet once again, being in that region, is trying to be handled, if you will, by his disciples. I always look at the disciples like that, because you see a pop star or some political figure or something like that. They've always got these handlers. You notice that, telling them where to go and what to do and who someone is and even what to say. And the apostles act like that a lot of the time. And so this woman comes, and she's got a daughter who's possessed, and she wants help. She's at her wit's end and screams out, "Oh Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, how did she know to say that? That's what I wonder. Because that is something that is said many times during the Gospels by the Jews who would recognize what the Son of David meant. And yet, was she just being trying to get Jesus' attention by this? We don't know, but somehow, some way, she had heard this phrase and was trying to pull the Lord in to her situation. Now, the Lord, of course, ignores her. Just ignores her. Doesn't say a thing. And of course, we only get in the gospel that she says it this once and then later says, "Lord, have mercy on me." But the disciples' reaction would sort of indicate that it was much more egregious than this. She must have been continually screaming, crying out over and over again, because the disciples told the Lord, "Well, look, she's crying after us. You know, send her away, send her away." And then the Lord says, "Well, I've come only to the children of the lost sheep of Israel. That's all." And why would he have said that to the disciples? Because if you look at some of the commentaries on this passage, it's a little bit confused. Some of the saints say that, well, the disciples were really trying to get the Lord to help this woman. And others say, well, no, the Lord was kind of reinforcing what they would expect him to say, especially since he had come from amongst many Jews who were probably listening very carefully to him and wondering what his mission was about and whether he was specifically for the Jews or whether he was going to involve himself in pagan things as well. So we're not really sure about this. But the woman would not be put off. She continued on. She kept screaming, kept yelling at him, finally comes and kneels before him and says, "Lord, have mercy on me." And the Lord, as in many other instances in the Gospels, we would think would say, "Oh my goodness, you know, you've really melted my heart here, and I'm going to turn to you now and give you whatever you want." But no, he says something really, really nasty if you think about it. He says it is not right that we should give these holy things unto the dogs. Now, being called a dog at any time is not a pleasant thing. But in the Middle East, At this particular time, the insult could not have been any worse than that. But it's hard to believe, though, that the Lord who loves mankind was looking upon one of his children and trying to insult her. No, not at all. He was simply saying that he was there for the Jews first, for the Gentiles second, and that since salvation came from the Jews, that anything outside of that would have been as if they were casting away this pearl of great price to just anyone before the Jews had time to accept or reject his message. But then this woman turns to the Lord and says that wonderful, wonderful statement, one of the most wonderful in all of the Gospels. Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus turns to her, and this is very important. He says something that he only says one time in the entire Gospel of Matthew. O woman, great is your faith. He never says anyone else's faith is great in the entire Gospel of Matthew. Great is your faith. Your wish has been granted. And we know that the daughter was healed right from that very moment. The church sets this Sunday apart. Very few of the different Sundays that we have, whether we're talking about the whatever Sunday it happens to be of Matthew or how many Sundays it is after Pentecost. In this case, this 17th Sunday after Matthew is known as the Sunday of the Canaanite woman because it expresses so many things to us that we, I think, feel in our own lives. And one of the main ones is this, that so often when we are praying, we are hoping for something, beseeching God, we have some kind of terrible problem, and we feel like God is not listening to us, that he's ignoring us. And we see that he did the same thing today to this Canaanite woman. She was obviously distressed. She was completely torn up. She was at her wit's end. She didn't know what else to do. And yet, the Lord just seemed to ignore her at first. And yet, we feel the same way many times in our own prayers. Normally, it's because when we pray, we already have a specific answer that we are seeking for. We don't offer God a multiple choice here. We want one certain thing, and when it's not granted immediately, then somehow we get all despondent. And so this story teaches us that we have to keep beseeching God, because he was not being rude to this woman, but what he was doing was making sure that all around saw the greatness of her faith. And to her especially, he was trying to provoke that faith, that beseeching of him from her even more. He was offering her a chance to demonstrate just how great her faith was. And many times when we pray, that's what God is doing to us too. We are such a snap society, aren't we? That, I mean, you think about it now, it's pretty amazing. Because I was thinking about this the other day. Remember 20 years ago, however, when you wanted to buy something or order something, you put the order in and you had to wait and wait and wait until whatever it happened to be finally came to you. And you had to mail in your check, and sometimes they wouldn't send the order out until your check got there. And now what do we do? We go out to most places, we see something we like, whoop, hit that PayPal button and it's all done, isn't it? Just incredibly quick, or go to Amazon or whatever it happens to be. You don't even have to think about it. You just hit a click and it's done. And now it's there the next day many times. So our society is something that is used to quick answers, quick responses. You know, we do things and we want things and it's given to us almost automatically. Now that might be fine for us today in terms of our materialistic needs, the things that we want, the things that we desire. But I've got to tell you, in terms of your prayer life, it's really quite detrimental because the Lord does not work that way. I think I've told you all before the Oral Roberts at Oral Roberts University used to teach his students many years ago that God is like a Coke machine. You put in your quarters and out comes the Coke. And that's certainly what most Americans think in terms of their own petitioning the Lord these days. But sometimes the Lord wants us to sit back, to think, to pray, to really desire to communicate with Him, to really beseech Him with all our hearts, realizing that there's nothing else that we can do. When He reduces us to tears, and tears are a very holy and wonderful thing in prayer, when He reduces us to these tears, then we feel like we've hit rock bottom in terms of our beseeching Him, in terms of our praying to Him, in terms of our really desiring with all our hearts something that we want to happen, and then we realize that there's no other way that the end of this prayer is going to come about unless I just throw myself down in front of the Lord, as this woman did today. And when that happens, when we reach that point, all of a sudden, things begin to happen. The Lord begins to respond to us. He begins to talk to us. He begins to increase the grace that we have, so that perhaps the next time around when we are trying to pray, it might just be a little bit easier because we've learned lessons about how to ask for His favor, for His intercession before the Father. These are the things we need to take away from this gospel passage today. Persistence, for sure. Patience, for sure. Love, for sure. Because certainly this woman, when she knelt before Him, had to feel some sort of love for Him. Humility, which is at the root of everything that we do in our Orthodox Christian lives. We have to have that humility because, as many of the fathers say, there is no love without genuine humility, and there is no genuine humility without love. The two go hand in hand. It's something that we have to have in both instances all the time. And so when we humble ourselves before God, ask of Him sincerely, and don't give up. Don't ever give up in our prayer lives, then again, wonderful things begin to happen. What was it that the Lord Himself said? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But you know, one of the things He did not specify was how many times. He says that we've got to keep breaking down that door to heaven. We have to be insistent. We have to keep doing things. We have to keep beseeching the Lord, knowing that even if our prayer somehow is not answered the way that we want it, that because of the grace of God upon us, He's looking out for us and answering it the way that it should be answered. So He covers us both ways, whether or not we get what we're asking for or whether we don't. Either way, we know that God's will be done, and all the best things will be given to us in terms of what it is that we're asking for or what we desire. So please think about this woman whose faith was great. And she came out of nowhere, it seems like. And the Lord almost made an example of her. And she even took what she probably thought at the time was an insult, even though He didn't intend it that way. And yet she persisted. And in the end, her faithfulness and her persistence were rewarded. Amen.